holiness of God is the most extreme separation and distinction that you can make from that which is evil. Okay? It's the complete opposite from that which is unholy. It's two opposite ends of the spectrum. Okay? Brother Myron, why don't you come here real quick? You're gonna be God. Come over here. Just stand over there. He's God, he's the epitome of all holiness and righteousness and goodness. And then you have Brother Tony on the other hand. He's all the way over here. And he's so he's that which represents sin and wrong and evil and all this kind of stuff. Okay? So they're not close together. They're not just a few shades off. They're complete. Well. Maybe a few shades. But they're complete opposites. They're complete opposites. So here's what happens. But here's what I show you. Michaela, come here. Come here. So you have a person and they're in the world. Okay, just put your arm on her shoulder or something. Yeah. Okay, they're in the world. There's sin and they're of this world. Now, they repent of their sins. They're baptized in Jesus' name. They're filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Because of that, they become saved from this worldly system. They're taken out of this world. They are saved from the clutches and the dominion of sin. But look at where she's at, and look at where God is. This is what holiness and the pursuit of a holy God is all about. It's not about just getting out of, it's not being saved from something, it's about being saved to something. Now the goal for a saved person isn't to stay here. Why would you want to stay here? Look how close. Salvation is just you've walked through the door. You haven't arrived. You've just stepped out. You become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. These things no longer have the clutch of sin, no longer has control over you, but you're right here. You still have. And so the heart of any sincere Christian and apostolic who has then witnessed and had a revelation of the holiness of God should then be, you know what? I want to become more like that every day. Sometimes my journey might be just little baby steps. Sometimes I might make giant steps. But my life should be categorized and should be defined as a constant pursuit to get to Him. Now, I'm never going to get there. I'm never going to arrive there because His holiness is so incredibly awesome that even when I get to where I think I've arrived, if I keep pursuing His holiness, He's just going to blow my mind with something else. Because He is the epitome of holiness. And I'll never get there, but it's not about arriving, it's about the journey. It's not about getting there, it's not about being there or arriving there, it's about getting there. That's what this is all about. It's about a passionate desire to say, I want to become more like Him and separate myself more and more and more. Look what happens. The more you separate yourself from that, look what happens. The closer you get here. Thanks, guys. That's what it's all about. That's what this is all about. That's what it's all about. And so you say, well, Pastor, why? I'm going to skip over some stuff here. And just why is separation so from this world? Why is separation from this world so important? James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do we see this? Do we see this? I hope we don't just skip over these kind of verses. The friendship of the world is enmity with God. Enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world, the worldly system, the cosmos, if you're going to be all buddy-buddy with that, if you're going to be all connected with that and intertwined with that and enjoying the pleasures and all that kind of stuff of the cosmos, this worldly system, then you are an enemy of God. We are to be the called out ones. We are to be the separated ones. We are to be the holy ones. The Word of God is telling us that friendships that we have with this worldly system is enmity, it's hostility, it's opposition against God. We've got to get this. We touched on it Sunday, but we have to understand that when I cozy up to the world and do the things of the world, it's not just like, oh, well, you know, sorry, God. You know, buddy, pal, sorry, I didn't do so hot here today. We have to understand what the Word says. The Word says that when we do these things, it is hostility and opposition. That's what enmity means, against God. It's very easy as Holy Ghost-filled people to think that this verse is talking about other people. Am I right about it? But could it possibly be that it's talking about us in this room tonight? Could it be that we've simply been attached to some things in this world for so long that we don't even realize that it is causing us to be in opposition against God? I'm hurrying real quick, but I need you to stay with me and think with me and get this into your heart. Could it be that the very thought that we could be God's enemy is so ridiculous to us that we don't even consider the fact that it might be true? Listen, just think about it for a moment. What better place could the enemy of our souls cause us to live in other than a place where we think we're a friend of God, when in reality, we're an enemy of God? That's a win-win for the enemy of our soul. If he could get us there, that's perfect for him. Because we would never work on anything. We would never see a reason to change. Because I'm a friend of God. At least I think I am. So we have to ask ourselves some questions this evening. What in this world have we become friendly to and attached ourselves to? You got to get honest about this. Do we allow things in our home that shouldn't be in our home? Are we enamored by, we talked about it in the first session, but are we enamored by the fashions of clothings of this world? Have we developed a friendship with certain musical talents that are against the principles of God? The Bible says things that are holy and just and righteous, all this stuff. Think upon these things. Are we more in love with hobbies and recreational activities and sports teams than we are the house of God? Do we read more, it's going to get quiet, but do we read more about the Hollywood stars than we do his holy word? Well, Pastor, I just can't sit down and read. I just have such a hard time sitting down and read. But if it's People magazine, I can read it for 2 hours. You could read. It's not that you don't like to read. Now, let me just make this maybe a little more plain. Have we gotten to the point where we will watch something that we would never watch in front of company. Simply because we feel like we can handle it. And I can watch this and not have it affect my spirituality. Now, if the next door neighbor came and sat down here, I'd never watch this. If sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so came over to the house, I'd never say, hey, let's watch this together. Never in a million years. I'd be plumb embarrassed. But if it's just me, I can handle it. Is it possible to get to a place where certain cuss words are okay to listen to, but others are not? Well, he didn't say that word. He just said. And here's something to think about. Why is the F word, why does that offend us more than when somebody takes the Lord's name in vain? Is it possible to sit down and watch a whole show or a movie or whatever, and they take the name of the Lord in vain, left and right, and it not even bother us? But they say the F word, and oh. They are taking in vain the name of the one who died on a cross. I'm just saying, think about this. Is it possible that the things of this world that were at first shocking to us and at first made us feel uncomfortable, we now permit them and we even look forward to them? The first time we've seen it, it was revolting. But we've, over time, grown accustomed. Is it possible that we've become desensitized to some worldly things to the point where we no longer feel bad about bringing them into our home? What would you, can I be plain? I know we got kids, if two complete strangers came into your house and started undressing in your living room, with the intent of, would you sit on the couch with a bag of popcorn and watch? Would you? I mean, that. Okay. Is it friendship with the world when our measurement of standard? Listen, I am not going to. I told you this the last series. I'm going to tell you this. I am not the holiness police. I don't want you coming up to me for every little thing. And can I do this? Can I do this? I'm not. That's why I'm telling you. There are some biblical mandates that we're going to talk about. We're going to teach that are black and white, all this kind of stuff. But I'm not going to tell you what you can watch in your home. Okay? If you don't know a rated R shouldn't be watched, you're missing something completely somewhere. But it's just violence. It's just blood everywhere. It's just dismemberment. But I'm not going to be the holiness, the police to tell you all this kind of stuff. But is it friendship with the world when our measurement of standard for what we watched is based on a bunch of sinful, non-Holy Ghost-filled people who tell us what the rating is? These are the ratings. It's this, it's this, it's this. These people don't love God. They're not filled with the Holy Ghost. And we're going to allow them to tell us. David said it like this, Psalms 101:3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. So the question is, what have we been telling ourselves to make us feel okay in what we've been putting in front of our eyes? Now listen, I'm preaching to me, all of us, okay? We're on a journey, and it's a process. Okay, it's a process. You know, you let God deal with you, and it takes time, and you put away things, and you struggle in things, and you overcome. I understand all that. It happened to me, and in different areas of my living, my wife and our family and what we watched and all this kind of stuff. It was a process. So I understand this. But here's a verse that, and we've talked about this before, but this is the Word of God. This is not Pastor anything, this is the Word of God. Romans 1:29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. And we would say amen to that. Not only those who do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Have we convinced ourselves that just because we don't do those things, we're okay? When the Word specifically tells us that the same judgment that's coming to them will come to those who take pleasure in them that do them. You see that? Not only those who do them, but those who take pleasure in them that do them. What do we do with that verse? How do we explain that verse? Or do we just try to skip it, go over it? And if we're just trying to overlook it, or if we're just trying to explain it away, shouldn't that be a warning flag to us? That maybe there's more of a friendship with this world than what we think is there? That's quiet, but I want you to take that verse, and I just want you to allow the holiness of God to start talking with you about these things. I'm preaching to myself more than anybody in this room, for in light of the holiness of God, I think I'm making allowances for a lot of stuff I shouldn't be making allowances for. I think, Sister Vivian, I think I've overlooked a lot of things in my life that I shouldn't be overlooking. I don't want to think it ridiculous that I might have more of the world in me than I think I do, simply because I'm a pastor or a preacher or a saint of God. I don't want to downplay the fact that it's possible that this worldly system has crept into my life more than I think it has, just because I'm on the leadership team or I have a ministry or I'm faithful and I get my tithes and offerings or I volunteer. The Lord is telling us to seek after His holiness, so in turn we can separate ourselves from the things of this world, because we are in this world, but we are not of this world. This world should have no power over us. This world should have no hold on us. Somebody said amen. I want you to see something in our key text for this series, 1 Thessalonians 4:7. And then we're going to go 4 and 8. But watch. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He's called us to holiness. Verse 8, watch this. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. You got to get this. Again, God didn't call us and save us and redeem us so we could continually live unclean and unholy. He called us and he saved us to sanctification, to go on that journey towards holiness, to become more like God. Then it says this, if you despise that fact, if you despise the fact, verse 8, if you despise the fact that we can't keep living unholy and unrighteous, if you despise the fact that God is calling you to righteousness and that you can't stay like you are, just know, he says, you are not despising a man and you are not despising a preacher. You are despising God because he is the one who has called you to a life of separation. Pastor didn't call you to it. Leadership team didn't call you to it. God called you to it. And he said, if you don't like it, if you despise the fact that you got to separate yourselves from some things, he said, don't take it out on a man. See, you're despising God. God is calling us to be separate. God is calling us to be holy. Jesus said it like this, Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to them, if any man will come after me, let him what? Deny himself. You want to come after me? You want to get to where I am? You want to experience my holiness and come after me? He said, okay, here's how you do it. Separate yourself from some things. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Jesus is telling us, listen, our church attendance is not the real indicator of whether someone is following after God. Well, I got the pin that says we don't give pins anymore, but I don't know if we ever gave pins. I haven't missed a Sunday and whatever. Okay, great, wonderful. And we're glad about your faithfulness. But that's not an indicator that you are truly seeking after God. Volunteering in a certain position is in a ministry is not the main indicator of a heart that is seeking after the holiness of God. Clapping your hands when you're supposed to, standing when you're supposed to. None of those things are an indicator of a heart that is seeking after a greater revelation of who God is. The book said, if a man wants to seek after the Lord, if a man desires to pursue after a holy God, then the first thing he must do is deny himself. Deny their flesh. Deny the temptations of this world. Deny what the world has to offer. Separate themselves from that which is worldly. Separate themselves from that which is ungodly. Separate themselves from that which is unrighteous. This is what God is calling us to today. This is separation is so important in our walk with God. Genesis 19:24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone, and the fire from the Lord out of heaven fell. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But watch. But his wife, Lot's wife, looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Remember now, Sodom and Gomorrah were wicked cities. They were evil, evil, evil cities. And so God says, I'm going to judge these cities with fire. I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth because my judgment's going to fall upon them because of their wickedness and because of their sin. But before he does that, in his mercy, he sends angels to a godly family in that city of Lot and his wife. And he sends angels to them and trying to tell them, listen, I'm going to judge this, but I'm trying to preserve you and your family. I'm trying to spare you and your family. So I'm sending you these angels so that they can tell you ahead of time so you can get out of the city, so you can separate yourself from the place that is wicked so as not to be judged with it. So that's what was happening here in Genesis 19 that we just read to you. For they were in this process of fleeing Sodom and Gomorrah. And they were leaving and they were running away and the fire was beginning to fall. All this kind of stuff. But the Lord specifically told them, when you leave, don't look back. So when Lot's wife, as she's leaving, when she turns and looks back, the judgment of God came upon her life. And the Bible says she was turned into a pillar of salt. Notice, here's what I want you to get. She was not geographically in the city, but her heart was. And God had to judge everything that was associated with that wicked, perverse, and vile place. So even though she was not geographically in the city, she was attached to that city in her heart. So when judgment fell, anything and everything that was attached to the worldly system had to be judged. I've already said it, but let me say it again. The only thing that saves us is repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That's what saves us initially. But let me tell you something. Our holiness and our separation causes our associations with this world to be severed. Our holiness and our separation causes our friendships with this world to be cut away. So that when God, the judgment of God is poured out on a wicked world, we won't be judged because of our association with it. Because everything that is friends with the world is enemies against God. And if there's anything in me that I am friendship or friendly with in the world, and then I'm an enemy against God, if judgment comes, I'm going to be judged because of that. How do I expect to be saved if I'm an enemy against God? Oh, hallelujah. Repentance, baptism, infilling of the Holy Ghost are the only things that save us. But you better mark it down and believe it with everything within you. Holiness and separation keeps us saved. You are absolutely, I'll stand right here and defy anybody to contradict me. You are absolutely out of your mind if you think otherwise. Holiness and separation absolutely helps and keeps us saved. Separation from this world keeps us from falling back in love with the things of this world, which in turn would bring about the judgment of God on our lives. When you say, well, I don't know about all these standards and all these lines you guys are drawing. Really? That line that we drew right there, that's going to keep somebody from going back. I just think you're being dogmatic, and I just think you're being legalistic. No, it's called love. It's called love. It's called, I don't want to see anybody go back and then have to receive the judgment because you went back or I went back. And so we're setting some standards. We're setting some things. Not to keep us from something. Oh, hallelujah. The fences of holiness and the fences of separation are set up in the Word of God. They are not intended to keep us in. They are intended to keep the world out. Are you getting this? That's why the book says this in Galatians 5 and 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Somebody say the liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. See, talk about a worldly agenda. The worldly agenda, Satan and his all his little maneuverings has creeped into into Christianity and said that holiness is bondage. Separation is bondage. The Word of God says, stand there fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So it's saying the very thing that holiness and separation is keeping you from, hell's telling you that's bondage. And the Word of God is saying, no, that's liberty. It's keeping you from bondage. That line is allowing you to live in liberty. Am I making sense? These standards, we're going to talk about a few, but you know, personal standards, biblical standards, all this kind of stuff, these things, they are allowing you to live a life of liberty and live a life of freedom in Christ. That's not bondage, that's liberty. The thing that it's keeping you from is bondage. to go back into all the junk, all the worldliness that you used to live before you got saved. Holiness doesn't save us, but you better mark it down. It keeps us saved. And without it, listen, without holiness and without separation principles, you will go back. Listen, I'm telling you right now, I know. Too many people. It's mind-blowing. It starts off with, you know, I just don't think that women should have to do this or the men should have to do this. And it's this little thing here, but all of a sudden, compromise is not a decision. Compromise is a lifestyle. I know that to be true. You cannot compromise on one thing and say everything else will stay the same. If you compromise in one, it's not a decision, it's a lifestyle. If you begin to compromise, you'll compromise on this, and then you'll compromise on this, and then you'll compromise on this. And I know specifically one I'm thinking of even right now that it's just this one little thing, but then a compromise, and now they're not even going to church anywhere, and they're falling back. And I just don't think this holiness stuff is right. And now they're away from God and they're backslid from God and their kids don't even know God. Their kids don't even know what it's like to feel the presence of God. That's bondage. That, my friend, is bondage. Don't let anybody convince you that we're living under bondage. We're living in liberty. And the reason we preach this is because we want to continue to live in liberty. That's what holiness does. That's what separation does. It's a freedom. Oh, hallelujah. Last point and I'm done. A little longer than what I wanted, but last point and I'm done. Titus 2 and 11. You got to get this. This is so key. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Teaching us. What taught us? The grace of God is teaching us. That denying ungodliness and denying worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present cosmos. Even though the world is doing all that stuff, God is calling us to holiness. And he is teaching us that we are to deny the ungodly things and deny the worldly lusts and live soberly and righteously, godly. But what is it that taught us that? The grace of God. The grace of God that brought us our salvation is also teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. It is the grace of God that teaches us to live soberly and righteously. Here we go, and I'm done with this. It is not a judgmental preacher that's telling us to be separate. It is the grace of God that is telling us to be separate. It is not a legalistic, narrow-minded pastor telling us to live holy and separate. It is the grace of God. It is not some unenlightened, unlearned person. It is the grace of God. My friend, it is the grace of God that is telling us, come out from among them and be ye separate. It is the grace of God that calls us to live at a higher standard than this world lives. It is the grace of God that gives us a model for how to live and how to act and how to talk and how to dress. It is only the grace of God that would tell us to live separate, because God knows if we do not live separate from this world, we will once again become entangled with this world, and then judgment will be passed upon us, because once again we will be worldly. It is the grace of God. Holiness preaching is not some outdated, antiquated message. Again, that is another message. That is another thing that the Satan and his sins into the world. Oh, you guys still believe that holiness stuff? You still believe that separation stuff? You need to get up with the times. This is the 21st century. You need to get all this kind of stuff. No, no, no. And it gets you thinking, well, are we? You know what I'm saying? You start, well, there's so-and-so's. No, listen, I'm telling you right now, holiness, the message of holiness and separation from this world is not an antiquated, outdated message. It is a message of grace. It is a message of grace that says in Romans 12 and 1, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The message of grace says, don't be conformed to this world. Separate yourself from this world. Turn from all your wicked ways. Do this so that you can understand what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Somebody said amen. See? Seriously, this is it right here. But that's why the enemy of our souls fights against holiness so hard. Do you understand this? That is why the enemy fights against these separation principles so hard, because he knows it is a message of grace. He knows if there is no separation, he's got you. It might be a day or a week or a month, but he knows when you start letting down these principles and there is no holiness and there is no desire to be separate, it's just a matter of time when he once again can entangle you. So I say it's a message of hell that says there should not be separation. It's a message of hell that says we don't need distinction. It's a message of hell that says you would just live however you want to live and act however you want to act and dress however you want to dress. Don't let anybody convince you that we don't need separation anymore. We don't need holiness anymore, because now, listen, what do they say? They say, we're just living under grace. You don't need to be separate anymore. You don't need to be distinct anymore. You don't need to worry about how you live and all this kind of stuff. Why? Because now we're under grace. They are lying. They are liars. It is the fact that we are under grace that we have the knowledge to be separate. It's the fact that we are under grace that we know to live holy and live righteous and live godly in this present world, so we don't have to go back to a worldly system. Oh, hallelujah. The grace of God. It's the grace of God. Let's stand. Can we just lift our hands and thank God for his word?